What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think I just got an epiphany.
That's something I guess I'd never really stopped to consider.
This is like deep. I never thought about it.
It's mind-blowing to me.
I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly.
I haven't really looked at it that way before.
Yeah, that just sounds cool.
It just now came to me.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we've been talking about wayward emotions. And those are a challenge, honestly. I think many of us have to interact with our wayward emotions. A very private matter, isn't it? Because sometimes the emotions are just happening in our own mind, and people see the expressions of them, but they're not totally clear on what's happening within you, why you're acting that way, so to speak. In the first episode, I just mentioned these general ideas, like we are emotional beings. God's made us to be emotional. And yet those emotions can become problematic. When you have sinful emotions, then you know it's wayward for sure. But I gave you just a couple of other ideas too, like being overly sensitive or too emotional, identifying as your emotion. Today, I want to help reorient wayward emotions for you. And in the last segment, I really want to help focus in on your kids. For those of you that are parents or guardians or uncles, aunts, and maybe some of you even in education, you're thinking through how do you help encourage young kids? And I am thinking of minors. We're talking 16 and younger when we are helping them with their emotions. So first of all, if you remember from last episode that emotions come from your heart, then when you're trying to reorient your wayward emotions, you really have to focus on the heart. So if you have a Bible, grab it. Let me show you something, because your right anthropology, your right doctrine about yourself is really going to help you with your emotions. And if you don't understand people correctly, which is according to God's word, then the reality is that you're not going to be able to help them immensely with their emotions, because we don't fundamentally understand people. So the Bible teaches that why we do what we do comes from our immaterial heart, and we want to be reminded of that. So technically, why do your emotions do what they do? They're coming from your heart. Now, let me read to you the scripture. It says, this is Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Did you catch that last part? Thoughts and intentions of the heart. What you think about, what goes on the replay reel of your mind, is often what will affect your emotions. Can I just be candid with you? And I don't want to brag, but I can do this right here, right now. If I start to rehearse sins committed against me, and there's a couple that have happened to me in my lifetime, sure. If I just start to meditate on those, you want to know something? Like I start to get irritable, and that leads towards anger. It's like, whoa, chill, Gregolita, chill. What's the matter with you? Well, I'm thinking about all these awful things in my life. Well, where is that happening in my heart? And what's my emotion doing? It's following what's going on in my inner person. So I can get myself worked up by thinking on things that are the wrong things. You may be able to experience this too. You know what nostalgia is? You reminisce. I love birthdays in our home, but sometimes I don't love them because we often get very nostalgic and it can make you sad. You know, this is where you bust out the pictures and you start looking through pictures of family and cousins and children. And you're like, man, do you remember? Oh, so-and-so did this that one time. Do you remember that? And what's happening is you start to think about that and then you're like, oh man, I miss them. And you get a little bit sad, in all honesty. So when that happens, what was going on, the thoughts and intentions of your heart are affecting your emotions. So if in all fairness, if you think about really sad things all the time, what do you think your emotions are going to do? No, that's not total rocket science. It's partial rocket science. If you think about really frustrating things all day, all the woes committed against you, and that's what you're renewing your mind with, the things of this earth, Colossians 3, then what do you think your emotions are going to do? Well, I know I've been meditating on how my boss sinned against me all week, but man, I really got a lot of joy and happiness right now. That's so odd. No, of course that's not what's going to happen. You're going to be angry and frustrated and temperamental. So when you want to help eradicate wayward and sinful emotions, actually start with the inner person. Ask yourself this question: what were you thinking about when you experienced that emotion? Or what were you daydreaming about when you experienced that emotion? And if it's sadness, for instance, were you reminiscing of the children when they were young? If it's sadness, are you thinking about your body and all of the frailties of your body? And then that cultivates fear within you because you're not sure who's going to care for you or how bad this issue is going to get. If it's work issues and you're frustrated by your job right now, your employer's not being a great person, okay, then that's affecting your emotions. So focus on what was happening in your heart when these emotions occurred. And I think you'll find many times it feels like our emotions are alien. And all I mean is like they hovered into our life and we had no choice. They just showed up and hijacked us. But that's not the way the Bible delineates things, that your emotions didn't just come in like aliens to invade you. They were coming from somewhere. And unlike the spirit of our age, it's not your body, it's your immaterial heart. So focus on what was happening in your heart. And then if you have a genuine, sinful, wayward emotion, I'm going to use the R word because the Bible uses the R word. You have to repent of that emotion. But some of you will say, Dr. Gifford, objection. I didn't choose that emotion. And I would say, fine, no problem here. But if you are disobeying what God's called you to do, you're still sinning. And the effects of sin in your life means that sometimes you don't always volitionally do that thing. You just do it anyways. So I'm very okay with saying you need to repent of a wayward emotion. And if you have sinful anger, you need to repent of sinful anger. If you have sinful sadness, you're meditating on sad things all day and you're just a very blue and melancholic person, then I think you need to repent of those wayward emotions. So instead of asking how I'm feeling, and this will also segue into how we help kids here in a minute, instead of focusing on how you're feeling, first ask what God's word says. Don't ask how I'm feeling first. Ask what God says in his word first. Well, why? Because the Bible is the authority, not my emotions. John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth, Jesus says in his high priestly prayer. So God's word is the authority, not my emotions. And as soon as you learn that, I think you're set free. That's not an oppressive reality. No matter what Jean-Jacques Rousseau would say, that is not an oppressive reality. That's where freedom comes, by recognizing that your emotions and feelings are not the authority, and they're not. The Bible, God is the authority, and he gives us his word as an expression of his speech to us. So the Bible is the authority. The Bible is inerrant. It's true. Doesn't say anything wrong. It doesn't indict or perpetuate error. So the scripture cannot be broken, John 10:35. And my emotions can be. My emotions are wacky. My emotions are on again, off again. My emotions don't always get it right. They do perpetuate error, unfortunately. So the Bible is the authority. The Bible is inerrant. The Bible is inspired. It's God's very word. God exhaled and gave us the entirety of the Old and New Testament. All scripture is God-breathed. So why do I not start by saying, and how am I feeling today? Well, a little sad, I must admit. I start by saying, what's God's word say about my day? What's God's word say about how I should think about my day and approach my day? There are times when you're going to have emotions that do not correspond to what God wants you to do. Can I give you an easy example of that? None of you are going to have the emotion of wanting to love your enemy. Oh, I sure love that guy. I wonder if he likes macadamia nut cookies or chocolate chip cookies. Just want to get him what he likes. No, like, have you ever had that emotion for your enemy? No, you haven't. But you know that at times you have to love your enemy against what you emotionally want to do, against your feelings. So the epitome of faith is doing what God calls us to do, regardless of how we immediately feel. Hebrews 11:6, you look to God as the rewarder. He exists and he rewards those that seek him. So if you don't feel like doing it, Don't let your emotions prevent you from doing what God's calling you to do. Do the opposite. Remember what I said in the series of Faith Over Feelings, that you are walking by your faith and not by your feeling. The sooner you do that, the younger in life you do that, the better off you will be. That's the epitome of faith. So if you're reorienting wayward emotions, know that to act against your feelings is not disingenuous. That's the epitome of faith. Last thought before our break, cultivate godly emotions by cultivating thoughts that lead to those emotions. For instance, Colossians 3:12, have compassionate hearts, care for other people, put other people's interest above your own. So if you're going to exude an emotion of compassion and be moved by someone and their struggles, then you need to value that person and you need to pause and think about their experience and how that must be. So how do you cultivate an emotion? And compassion can be an emotion where you're moved to mercy. Well, then work on putting on thoughts that cultivate that. So if it's your heart, then put on thoughts at the level of your inner person that will lead you to have godly emotions. And watch the way the sanctification process works so that God renews you, transforms you, and then your emotions become transformed as well. All right, I got to stop. Let me turn it over to Jimmy and we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he continues to talk about wayward emotions. That reminds me of a resource available in the Transform store at transform.org, Feelings and Faith by Brian Borgman. A fantastic book. It dives deep into how our emotions and our faith interact. And he does a great job of showing just how we should align our feelings with biblical truth, which is exactly what Dr. Gifford has been discussing. It's Feelings and Faith by Brian Borgman, available now at transformed.org. And speaking of biblical truth, I want to tell you about an incredible opportunity for young believers who are preparing for college, the Masters University. I'm sure you've heard of TMU. It is an amazing place where students can experience academics and athletics in preparation for professional excellence and do so while staying uncompromisingly committed to Christ and the sufficiency of Scripture. In fact, TMU has just ranked number 6 nationwide for career preparation. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. That is a really big deal. There's no better place than TMU. More information right now at masters.edu/transformed. And you know, when we talk about helping people navigate their emotions and grow in their faith, there is a biblical counseling resource available on transform.org that I highly recommend you picking up, especially if you've been thinking about becoming a biblical counselor yourself. It's Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling by Bob Kelman and Steve Byers. Calling this book, this resource, comprehensive doesn't feel like it even does it enough justice, because it is full of information that will help you understand how to minister God's truth to change lives. Whether you're a pastor, a counselor, or maybe you're just someone who wants to help others, this book is a goldmine of wisdom. Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling by Bob Kelman and Steve Byers, available now at transformed.org. Now, before we get back to Dr. Gifford, I want to take just a second to encourage you to consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Your support helps us continue producing Transformed and all of our other resources, and there are some big ones coming up, trust me. But your support is what's needed to help us do the things that we are able to do to reach millions with the gospel and to equip believers all over the world. If you're already giving to your local church and you're not strapped by any unmanaged debt, we would love it if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can find out more information right now at transformed.org. All right, now let's get back to our conversation about our wayward emotions with Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
It's inevitable that a high view of self leads to something God resists, like pride. When we acknowledge that we are nothing, that's when Christ becomes our everything.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for your kind words, sir, and resources. Welcome back. We have been talking about what to do in yourself with wayward emotions. And if last segment was fuzzy or it felt like those things were not super clear, I would encourage you just pause right here. Go back and listen to the first segment again, or the last half of the first segment, and then come back to the second segment. So in our last segment, I want to give you some practical thoughts for helping kids with their emotions. And I want to be careful because I know that by default, I tend towards more of like a military or athlete mindset, not an artist mindset. Does that make sense? Sometimes in the military, the mindset is like, it doesn't matter how you feel, soldier. You need to get up at 0530 and do push-ups. So I can gravitate towards that. I don't know if that was the military that cultivated that in me or if I already had that and the military just highlighted that. I know that is true in athletes too. A lot of athletes, they are not governed by emotions. They have to discipline themselves so much throughout their life that emotions can be kind of taken and put on the back burner, excuse me. So I know personally that's where I can gravitate. I think in a good way, artists are often more aware of emotions and see the beauty of emotions. And I do mean artists like musicians. I do mean artists like those that are in the film industry or those that are painters, or they're using creativity to earn an income. And by an artist, your emotions really provide inspiration and motivation and clarity for a project that brings income for your family. So I know I don't gravitate towards that. And I want to make sure that I'm packaging these more soundly in the scripture than opposed to my own preference on children. But let me give you a few key principles that I think can be helpful. As your kids are young, and I mean like toddler age, 2, 3, 4, they're learning how to use their emotions to get what they want. And if you as a parent are not consistent in your parenting plan, when your three-year-old screams at you and then you go grab that thing that they wanted, you're teaching them that their emotions are the authority. So all they got to do is get loud and scream at you. And then you'll snap to and turn the TV on, or you'll snap to and go get there. But at a very young age, and I'm talking about like 2, 1.5, I have a three-year-old right now at home, that young joker has to learn his emotions are not the boss. And that means that you're parenting from a very young age to help your children see that their emotions are not the authority. They're not. There are certain things that you do to help with that. Your plan of discipleship, I've mentioned those before. You can find examples of those on transform.org, but it's really your parenting plan. How do you approach your children? And if they scream at you and you snap to and do what they want, what are you teaching them? That they get emotional and you respond to that. So we're nipping that in the bud with consistent parenting. I think you can help them with their types of sports. And that there are certain sports that it's not really about them playing that game or participating in that sport, but they need to learn how to deal with disappointment and not be wrecked by that. You need to learn how to lose. You need to learn how to take constructive criticism from your coach. And when your coach chews you out, you deserved it. And I'm not going to swoop in and say, no, coach, not my precious one. I want you to get chewed out when you did something wrong. And you got to get over that. You don't let your emotions lead you and guide you. School engagement. And some of us have had awful experiences at school, whether that's through bullying or whether that's through we're not great at school. We're teaching our kids, hey, you still need to wake up tomorrow and you need to go back to school and you need to try it again, because we're not going to let our emotions and how we feel govern us. Your parenting style, academic, school engagement, types of sports, all of these are ways of helping say your emotions are not the authority, honey. So we really want you to be clear on that. I am very cautious, and this is the second point. I'm very cautious to put too much of an emphasis on how a kid feels or how a child feels. Rather, I want them to think about what God wants them to do. Talking about your feelings all the time, I'm convinced, is actually the wrong focus. It's self-centered. How do you feel? That question should be followed with, and what does God want you to do about that? So we're not trying to suppress feelings in our kids, but I'm not cultivating sadness. I'm not asking them how they feel every 2 seconds. Our feelings are not the authority, so don't consume your thoughts with them. To a certain degree, and in a gracious and loving way, we want to teach our kids that no matter how you feel, you need to do what God's calling you to do in His Word. And maybe you're sad today, and I get that, and sadness is hard. Maybe you're angry today, and I get that. Anger can be consuming. But how does God want us to respond according to His Word? We're going to be truth-led people, not feelings-led people. So number one, disciple them that their emotions are not the authority. Be very careful to ask how they feel too much and making that practically the authority. number three, and I have a couple of thoughts for boys and then a couple of thoughts for girls here. So I think for boys, one of the things that you're thinking about as a parent of a boy is helping your boys articulate what they're feeling and then responding in a way that honors Jesus. I find boys, and maybe you're a parent of girls and you would say, yes, Dr. Gifford, same thing for girls. But I find that boys, they have one expression of all of their emotions, and it's meanness. I find that boys often can just get mean and they're sad, or they get mean and they're frustrated about something. So one of the things that you can do is help your boys learn, what are you feeling? Identify that. And if you want to call that emotional intelligence, or Ken Sandy calls it relational wisdom, identify what you're feeling, and then what would Jesus want you to do about that? So if you are angry right now, put words to that. But your anger is not the authority. What does God want you to do with your anger? Or if you are happy right now, and that's why you're bothering everybody and annoying the whole house, is because you're in a great mood. Okay, well, identify that, and then identify what would Jesus want you to do with that emotion. But if you can't identify what's happening within you, then it's going to be really hard to appropriate the scripture to that. So help your kids in that way, and you're still governing their emotions with the truth of scripture. I think maturity, especially for our boys, entails learning what's going on inside of them and then responding in a God-honoring way. And it's amazing to hear a young man say, I'm really afraid, or I'm fearful of this, but I'm learning to trust the Lord and not let my fear motivate me. Whoa, parenting win of the year, triple homeschool high five, clap, clap, clap. We're pumped about that. We want to hear our kids identify their emotions and appropriate God's word to those emotions, seeing God's word is ultimately the boss. So that's a sign of maturity. Ladies, I think there's a couple of nuggets for you to consider as you're parenting, or dads, as you're parenting young girls. I have like a soft spot in my heart for the peers of my boys. Since I don't have daughters, I find that I could probably be manipulated very easily by a young daughter. And I do see that you're helping your daughter cultivate emotions, but not being too sensitive or emotions led. How do you help your daughter think biblically about her emotions? Well, she has emotions, and that's right, but she is working on being unoffendable. She's working on growing in love for those that are around her. She's not being myopic and overly focused on her emotions. That's self-denial or self-control, whichever term you want to use. She has to deny herself what her emotions might naturally tell her. She has to grow in love for other people. If she puts her emotions at the forefront, then what happens is she is now going to selfishly act because of how she feels. I know it's not this easy with our boys or with our girls, but from a very young age, if you're cultivating that a daughter can act in a certain way with her emotions, then don't be surprised if that just continues. And when she's 13, 14, 15, it culminates in this young lady that is really just emotions led, almost uncontrollably so. That has to be checked at an early age. Self-denial, self-control. We know it's hard, honey, but the Lord gives you grace and strength. So what do you proactively need to do? Deny yourself and grow in love for other people. Don't let those things govern you. So the key takeaway for helping your kids is helping your kids, first of all, fight against this cultural mentality that their emotions are the authority, and they are not. They're not the authority. You want to really hurt your children? You want to really set them up for failure? And if any of you said yes, then we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you lots. If you really want to hurt them, then just encourage the idea that their emotions are the boss. They won't hold down work consistently. They'll quit relationships consistently. Like, you're preparing to handicap your child if you teach them that their emotions are the boss. What are you teaching them? You're teaching them that God is the boss and His word is that which regulates our emotions. So don't suppress your emotions. Don't ignore them, but don't live by them. Be faith-filled, not feelings-filled. And if you're wrestling, you have that child that is just more wayward, they have more strong emotions or stronger emotions than your other children. I get it. I totally understand. God has made our children differently. But in the end, we are parenting them in such a way to recognize that God's truth is what's going to guide us, not our emotions in this time. So we're all trying to be faithful in this. I wish I could say that I was perfect in my parenting style, but these are the principles that are guiding our parenting style, helping our kids work through their emotions. So I got to pray and be done. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, please email me, greg@transformed.org. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for the fact that you have entrusted to us children. And for some of us, that is a great joy and a highlight of our current season of life. May you help us to parent them well, to see that you are the authority, your word is the authority, not our emotions. And Lord, I pray that as we live that out personally, it would make it easier to help shepherd these children in our lives, that we are individuals who are not governed by our emotions, but governed by your truth. Give us grace for this so that we can have emotions that express worship to you and glory to you, and that you would be honored, and that we would love you well and love others well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.